now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Well, in a previous interview with a guest, David Wargon, I made the comment that we are now officially in cloud cuckoo land, or words to that effect. Well, I say it again. We are definitely in cloud cuckoo land. It turns out that all the fear-mongering and war-mongering and war drum beating of the dreaded USS Carl Vinson battle group headed off to North Korea to start World War III. Well, that was fake news, and mea culpa, I fell for it along with countless other people. Thank you, James Corbett. Thank you, many of the other diligent investigators out there who pointed out that this was just one big farce meant to, I don't know, scare the North Koreans into sending another dead missile towards an American target in order to justify annihilating North Korea. Who knows? When dealing with psychopaths and pathological liars and narcissists on the galactic scale of the people that, or rather the hybrid reptile people that are running the show here on the surface, they know that psychopathy itself is a weapon. They know that a nation state or a group of nation states or a consortium of corporate-controlled nation states, the crazier and more menacing they act, they think, the more likely they'll get results that rebound in their favor. In the past, this has worked at times for them, and on a micro scale, we also see how pathological liars, psychopaths, narcissists try to bully and bluster and bluff their way. When they try to get what they want, they just make up lies out of thin air. We must always remember, especially on the micro level, micro interpersonal relationship level, when you're dealing with a pathological liar, it's the entities working through that individual that are talking to you. It's an example of the entities having gained control of an individual, because remember, psychology always follows neurology, which always follows genetics every time, no exceptions. So when you have this raging Draco hybrid host in front of you, blowing smoke at you, lying, accusing you of all kinds of evil deeds, and accusing you behind your back of all these evil deeds, it's just the entities working through that person using the old victim-aggressor mindset, the victim-aggressor mentality, which we've seen these psychopaths on a national, international, geopolitical scale use over and over and over again. Oh, we're victims, so we're going to lash out in a dozen different directions because we're being victimized. Poor me, woe is me, we're being attacked, we're being threatened, so we just lash out in a dozen different directions, and we're justified in doing so, right? That's the demented, psychopathic, lunatic, reptile mentality at work. You see this on the micro-personal scale when there's a pathological liar out there just hurling all this abuse at you, in front of you, behind your back, to the left and to the right of you, making up lies and just creating lies out of thin air, out of whole cloth. Well, we see this with this latest, and I don't even know why I'm laughing, actually. We see this with this latest psychodrama with the dreaded USS Carl Vinson battle group. The lamestream media echoes, probably, it's possible these lies originated, as usual, from the military-industrial intelligence security complex. Oh, you know, we're sending off this carrier battle group, and it'll soon be joined by two other carrier battle groups. So they're steaming off to North Korea to teach that dictator over there a lesson. Well, now, mainstream media has had to backtrack. The Carl Vinson all along has been conducting maneuvers with the RAN, the Royal Australian Navy. They were thousands and thousands of kilometers away from North Korea while those wild armada blustering threats were going out. So whoever made those comments originally, whether it was some quote-unquote sources within the military-industrial intelligence complex, someone knew that the prostitute whore media would turn right around and report it as fake news, as fact, fake news, fact. And like a bullfrog's chorus, soon even the alternative news media was saying the same thing. USS Carl Vinson battle group, oh, and two more carrier battle groups were converging on North Korea. Another one was supposed to be the USS Ronald Reagan, which was in Japan. It's based in Yokosuka, Japan. And we know that was another fake story because Vice President Pence had visited the USS Ronald Reagan in Yokosuka, Japan. So, yes, that's not part of this fake armada either. It's all fake. None of it was going on. It was just more warmongering. Now, we've seen this before. It seems to be an attempt to stir up the war hysteria, the war fever, and it could really be a case of the tail wagging the dog, because if someone or some people within the military intelligence complex came up with this lie, which was dutifully reported by the lamestream media, and then Trump reinforces this lie, saying that we've got a powerful armada, and oh, we got a powerful submarine that's more powerful than the carrier, and we're sending it over there, and yada, yada, yada. That's a clear example of the president of the United States just going along to get along. It's like he's been blindsided and he's got no choice but to go along with whatever lie that's gone on before him. This is a very bad situation where you have this guy who's the president, but obviously he's got a screw loose, like all of them seem to have, and he's not in control, nowhere near in control. He's just another puppet, folks. I mean, let's face it. I mean, everything from his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, determining not only foreign policy, but deciding upon military strikes, and you have all these Zionist ass-kissers like Mad Dog Mattis. And I remember this ex-military guy having a hallelujah breakdown when he heard that Mattis would become the new SecDef. And he was saying this on YouTube, going on and on about how all the troops were so happy that Mad Dog Mattis was now SecDef. I just rolled my eyes. And the same Mad Dog Mattis is going on and on about, get this, about how the Russians are arming the Taliban. It just, their lies are just so ridiculous, and anyone with any self-worth, if you can just take the time to just investigate these lies and put them to bed once and for all. So you have Mattis, you have all these people, all these psychopaths, they're all just piled up in and around and on top of Trump. And really, Trump is just like the rest of them. He's a mouthpiece. We just got to hope that nothing escalates. Now, they've used these similar tactics in the past, where by bluster and by bluff and through other means, things escalate, spiral out of control, and the world is on the brink of World War III. In the Cuban Missile Crisis, Jack Kennedy basically ordered a stand down of U-2 overflights, because he didn't want one shot down over Cuba, because it would have escalated an already tense situation. But they went ahead and sent out a U-2 anyway, and it got shot down. we see the setup with the Francis Gary Powers incident when he was flying a CIA spy plane. And the late, great L. Fletcher Prouty talks about this, about how the spy planes were supposed to be sanitized. In other words, everything that could remotely connect the pilot and the plane and the pilot's belongings to the United States of America had to be expunged. And he would be flying in without dog tags. He would be flying in without any insignia of rank, nothing to show that he was an American. Now, Eisenhower had ordered a stand down of the U-2 overflights because he was planning to have a summit with Khrushchev in Paris shortly to try to perhaps come up with a test ban treaty or some kind of limitation on the number of atmospheric nuclear tests to kind of ease off on Cold War tensions, etc., etc. Well, Eisenhower's masters wanted none of that, so they completely sabotaged the U-2. And as L. Fletcher Prouty pointed out, the late, great L. Fletcher Prouty, he was the guy, if you watch the movie JFK, the Donald Sutherland character was modeled after Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, the late, great. And L. Fletcher Prouty pointed out that Francis Gary Powers and the craft were supposed to be completely sanitized. Nothing on board would suggest the guy was an American. Moreover, all the U-2 pilots were under orders that if they were in danger of being captured, they would just commit suicide by lethal injection. Apparently, they had a little needle that they can inject themselves with, and they'd be dead, and dead men tell no tales, right? And establishment historians talk about how the Russians somehow were able to shoot down the U-2, and the U-2 had a ceiling of supposedly 70,000 feet, which the CIA believed was higher than any known Soviet anti-aircraft missile capability. So the story goes, the Soviets somehow figure out a way to blow it up out of the sky and shoot the plane down. I don't think it happened that way. I think that CIA deliberately sabotaged the plane in order to make Eisenhower look like a fool, because the plane came down, landed in Soviet territory. Eisenhower was outraged when he found out about the flight because he specifically ordered a stand down. He was even more pissed off when the Soviets paraded Francis Gary Powers, the CIA pilot, along with the wreckage of the U-2 aircraft, in front of the world's media, and he was very much alive, Francis Gary Powers. This pissed off Ike even more because he assumed the guy was, if he was still alive, he would follow orders and kill himself, which obviously he didn't do. End result was the Paris Peace Conference was scuttled big time. And then you look at another incident, like the Gulf of Tonkin. This was the inevitable outcome of a number of special operations raids pursuant to a national security plan, a National Security Council plan known as Op Plan 32 Alpha, Operational Plan 32 Alpha, which would have been dreamed up by all these people that wanted war in Southeast Asia. Basically, what one of the aspects of Op Plan 32 Alpha was that U.S. Navy SEALs and UDT personnel, underwater demolition teams, and mostly the SEALs, would work with their South Vietnamese counterparts in a bunch of hit-and-run raids on board boats, hitting North Vietnamese coastal radar stations and shore installations, etc., etc. This would provoke a response from the North Vietnamese, and then they could blow everything out of proportion, and they did. The Gulf of Tonkin so-called incident, which never happened, North Vietnamese Navy sent out patrol boats to threaten the United States destroyers that were on station there, the Maddox and the Sea Turner Joy. And in true victim-aggressor mode, the commanders of the U.S. naval destroyers claimed they were being threatened, fired upon by the North Vietnamese patrol boats. Help us, help us. We're under fire. And so the outcome of this was the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. It was a means for LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, to skirt once again Congress and basically find a means to escalate the war in Southeast Asia for something that didn't happen. Again, Navy SEALs, along with their South Vietnamese SEAL counterparts, conducting fast boat raids against shore-based installations in North Vietnam. This prompted North Vietnamese to send their patrol boats, and then the U.S. Navy, big bad warships, scream foul, we're scared, victim mentality, and then this led to the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. 58,000 dead Americans later, millions of dead Southeast Asians later, and then you have the inevitable takeover of Vietnam by the communists. And now turnabout is fair play. Vietnam apparently is starting to get back on its feet and become an economic power in Southeast Asia. Good on them. The point of relevance to all this is, once again, we have all these provocations. Screaming foul, oh, you know, on the one hand, they're going, we're victims, we're being, our big bad Navy is being attacked by little North Vietnamese patrol boats, and we need help, and fast forward to today, oh, our naval vessels near the Straits of Hormuz are being threatened by Iranian patrol boats. They're being threatened by Iranian patrol vessels. Where have you heard of this before, right? It's just that victim-aggressor mentality again. They keep provoking. Remember also back when Dickhead Cheney was president, not Shrub, W, but Dickhead Cheney, he said, we can, and I'm paraphrasing here, we can provoke a war with Iran by dressing up our Navy SEALs as Iranian sailors and having them pull off some kind of a stunt, you know, like pretending to attack, you know, American vessels or something. And we've seen the American public being prepped by this over and over. The USS Cole being attacked by, you know, some kind of suicide boat. But now they want to do this all over the world. It's not enough that they want to escalate the war in Syria and escalate the war and get one kickstarted in Iran. There's already all kinds of black ops, special ops going on inside Iran to destabilize and undermine Iran. Don't worry about that. It's happening. Been happening. Because that was part of the big, let's blow apart Iraq by, you know, creating the Sunni-Shiite civil war and covertly financing, you know, the Mahdi army and, you know, and now they got ISIS there. And so they can always blame Iran for covertly arming one faction or another, or somehow intervening in Iraq, and why shouldn't they? If Iraq is being destabilized and with the intention of turning loose hordes of jihadists who are capturing women and turning them into sex slaves and selling them off in the sex markets like they're doing openly in Libya, right? Why wouldn't the Iranians intervene? Because that's happening right on their doorstep. If it's not Iraq, then it's Korea. The whole world. Oh, we're sending all these carrier battle groups to wreak havoc, but they're not really. They're conducting, you know, maneuvers with the Australian Navy near Indonesia and Australian waters, and the Ronald Reagan is still in its home port in Yokosuka, Japan, and it's just all lies. And then on top of that, Fox News and all these other lame-o lamestream news outlets, they start chiming in too. Only in the U.S. Hollywood media will they announce the U.S. Special Forces and SEAL Team 6, et cetera, being sent to North Korea. It's like, whatever happened to OPSEC, operational security? It's so Hollywood. And here we are. Nothing has happened yet, thankfully. Although, apparently, Trump has called a meeting of all the senators for whatever reason, and they're up to something. He's probably telling them what Trump is probably telling them what his bosses told him. Meanwhile, there is some kind of big or recently concluded, I think today or yesterday, nationwide drills, disaster drills in the U.S. and apparently in New York City or New York somewhere, they simulated a drill based on the detonation of a nuclear weapon. Just more fear-mongering. We're supposed to believe that North Korea has the means to launch nukes, you know, all the way from the Korean Peninsula all the way to New York City is just so ridiculous. And as far as Syria is concerned, if I understand it correctly, the Russians are moving in their advanced S-300 air defense system, and they're not only going to protect their advisors and technicians there, but they're going to protect the Syrian Air Force and the Syrian military ground forces from air-to-ground attack. So if they keep escalating, Damascus was just blasted today by more airstrikes. Somewhere along the line, because of how often NATO and the U.S. send warplanes over into Syrian government-controlled territory, sooner or later, that SA-300 system, quite sophisticated, will shoot down a warplane, and then what'll happen? You know, up till now, Putin has showed commendable restraint, right? I mean, his troops have been blasted, and Russian planes have been attacked. But so far, he's been able to play cool hand Luke. So let's see what happens if the Russian air defense system winds up shooting down an American, an Israeli, or a NATO warplane. Let's see what happens. Apparently, the Russians are bringing in more special forces troops to work with the Syrian army to expel, eradicate, wipe out the ISIS fighters, which are being supported by the U.S. and NATO and Israel. We're in very interesting times here, folks. If it spirals out of control there in Syria, just Syria alone, that can cause all kinds of problems all over the world. Secretary of State Tillerson, who people believed initially was friendly towards Putin because of his past dealings with Putin and Russia as far as oil was concerned. Well, as Secretary of State, now he's demanding that Putin completely renounce any and all future help to Assad. And of course, Putin will never do that, I don't believe, because it would be a real domino effect, not the fake domino effect that was used as a pretext in Southeast Asia. Because if Syria completely goes, it'll go the way of Libya, and so you'll have all these formerly secular, moderate, progressive, quite modern Arab countries just overrun by jihadists running around, turning every girl and woman into a sex slave and chopping people's heads off and just returning it to a state of medieval barbarism. Meanwhile, the tribalist collectivists are just laughing, right? Eventually, they're going to try to turn loose all these jihadists on the Lebanese. It's only a matter of time. So you'll really see a domino effect. You'll see Libya, and then if they have their way, Syria, Iraq is already just been turned into a complete failed state, and Iran is next to Iraq, and the Russia has close connections with the Iranians. So the Russians just are not stupid. They're not going to allow this process to continue. The West has always sought to destabilize all the countries around Russia. This goes back to Brzezinski's Arc of Islam, creating an arc of instability and destabilization in all the countries that adjoin or next to, close to Russia, and also on the western side of China. The U.S. has always sought to create instability by arming Chinese, I think they're Muslims though, in the western provinces of China, to create instability and unrest and destabilization in the western provinces of China. It's all part of the global strategy of tension. It's what the whole Gladio project was all about. It's the ongoing, for many years, you know, that's what the troubles in Northern Ireland was all about. And it's what, you know, there was never a North and South Korea. It was only during those conferences in World War II, Tehran, Yalta, the big three so-called, Stalin, Churchill, Roosevelt, they're the ones that decided to divide Korea at the 38th parallel and give the northern half to the communists and give the southern half to a U.S. puppet. If that hadn't happened, there would be no Korean War, right? These things are all contrived. They're very, it's all orchestrated, absolutely. And we have to remember that, you know, ultimately it's not humans that are pulling the strings here. It's non-human forces working through all these puppets on all sides to create instability and destabilization, create a miasma, a smorgasbord of suffering, not just human suffering, but animal suffering, of planetary suffering. That's what this is all about. Because the Archons, the Draco Reptilian Overlordship, they know the celestially driven timetable. They know we're in alignment with the galactic core. They know that the Schumann resonance has spiked from 7.83 hertz up to 30 or something last I heard. That's a quantum leap. Soon, we're going to be beyond their reach on a vibratory density level, if nothing else. So they have to stir up all this chaos, bloodshed, war, famine, misery, suffering, turning countries into failed states, so-called, justify UN humanitarian interventions, so-called, pump out all this chemtrailing and harping and all that in an attempt to keep everything at a lower vibratory ebb, because the dimensions, the worlds are merging. This flux state we're in, due to these massive energetic spikes, you know, at the top end and the bottom end of the bandwidth too, the veils between worlds are thinning. So by constantly creating all this bloodshed and mayhem and whatnot, it, and also mucking around with harp and all the incessant ceremonial magic and blasting away at ley lines, vortex areas, and all that stuff, they're opening up more and more portals. They're letting more and more things in. More and more people are being taken up as hosts. And, you know, they call it asymmetrical warfare. That's what the wonks at the war colleges have called it, you know, for some time now. But this whole mass immigrant invasion of Scandinavia and, the Caucasian countries, that's asymmetrical warfare. It's turning loose the exact same kind of jihadis and ISIL, ISIS, Daesh types that are running amok, and, you know, they just keep moving them all over the world. Now, okay, we're supposed to believe they're overrunning Yemen and using it as a base, right? So that's going to be, you know, more expanded wars in Yemen. But really, all of it is just to keep the bandwidth of the frequency bandwidth of the entire planet at a low ebb, at the lower end of the frequency bandwidth, because of the merging of these dimensions, merging of these worlds, the veils are getting thinner. You know, not only are they letting in all these hosty, entity-infested immigrants all over the place, specifically, you know, males, you know, young males all the way up to older males, but they all have the same similar entity-infested mindset as far as, you know, rape and everything else is concerned. You know, the excuses some of these immigrants give when they get arrested for trying to assault a young girl. Oh, I thought she was a prostitute, right? That's a justification. Oh, because, you know, I saw her skin. She was tempting me, right? That's the excuse. Because women are the source of all evil. That's why they make them veiled head to toe so they don't get tempted, right? It's all this, you know, again, victim mentality, victim aggressor. Oh, you know, they couldn't prevent themselves. They couldn't help themselves from reaching out and lunging after these girls because they were so tempted. It's not their fault, right? And to suggest that it is their fault, well, that's racism, asymmetrical warfare. And they're being turned loose everywhere to create all this mayhem, right? So now, places that had known peace for generations, post-World War II, now they just turned into war zones. There's large parts of Europe, it's just overrun by migrants. They're openly calling for Sharia law. People being attacked left, right, and center, especially women and young girls. And that's what they want, because it's asymmetrical warfare. And, you know, the tribalist collectivists, they're getting their money's worth now, because they've always hated the Gentiles. Now they're pulling out all the stops now, and we're seeing it all play out in front of our eyes right now. Things are getting very interesting. Let's keep an eye on the outcome of this meeting Trump has with all the senators. They may come up with another justification for an even wider war. Some people speculate there could be a false flag attack on American forces, an American base, mainland America. Who knows? They are having these drills all over the place, mass casualty drills. So, and also remember what Dickhead Cheney said back when he was president. All they need is 35% of the people's willingness or approval. In other words, they don't care if 65% of the people know that all these wars and the justifications for them are a sham. As long as it's 35% in the form of these TV news droolers, Fox News droolers, CNN news droolers, etc., etc., as long as there's enough of them, right, to give that facade of support, that's all they need. That's all they want. And they'll just bull rush everyone else to go along with it, make it a crime to, you know, dissent, it's already a crime to protest. The Pentagon considers protesting a low form of terrorism, crying out loud. It's very selective, too. They don't mind when these social justice warriors run amok and attack people. That's fine, but, right, people, you know, of all ethnicities standing up for Native American water rights and for not allowing sacred tribal lands to be desecrated by the installation of all these pipelines, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, they'll attack the heck out of the protesters in those places. You better believe it. There was a story, I think today or recently, I forget what website it was, the Daily Sheeple, shithitthefanplan.com, S-H-T-F plan, I think it is, .com. Anyway, the upshot of the article was that there's a lot of people in Los Angeles these days that are worried about the possibility of big-time civil unrest. Is that a case of the collective consciousness tapping into something, like they're tapping into some kind of plan or something that may happen, a possible happening in their timeline? Who knows, right? We know that if war breaks out against North Korea, it'll be totally contrived. Absolutely contrived. Now, apparently, if the latest information is to be believed, they're going to send those carrier battle groups towards North Korea after all. It was like, oh, well, we jumped the gun. We said they were heading out there. They really weren't, but now they are. So let's see how that plays out. If they really are going to start heading towards North Korea, you're going to have an escalation, definitely. And the North Koreans were hammered unmercifully. Dams were taken out by the Far Eastern Air Forces of the U.S., flooding huge parts of North Korea, killing millions of people. They bombed North Korea incessantly. It's even been alleged, and I have no reason to doubt it, that chemical weapons have been used during the Korean War, 1950 to 1953. Mass area carpet bombings were conducted on North Korea. Millions and millions of North Koreans died. Naval warships unleashed naval gunfire up and down the Korean Peninsula. So, you know, it's understandable that the Koreans would have a cause for concern, let's say, with the U.S. doing all this saber-rattling, because they've been on the receiving end of a hellacious onslaught back in the day, and it's still fresh in their memories. That was only from 1950 to 1953, a totally contrived war. So let's just keep an eye out and just keep our frequency up and maintain a bubble for ourselves and as much as possible detach from all the drama. Facebook, I've been limiting my time on Facebook lately, mostly because I've been busy. But, you know, I still try to maintain comms with my friends and key people. And they're all key people on Facebook that I maintain comms with. But it's just been a fear porn fest on there lately. So, and that does my internal harmony no good to tune into all that. So, but it's also good, like I've been pointing out in this whole commentary, to keep tabs of what's going on the surface, because as above, so below. Whatever is going on the surface world had its roots, its origins in the higher or lower spiritual realms, spiritual dimensions, take your pick. And I believe that's another reason why there's so many different ET groups that are coming here now. They're here to, some of them here just to observe it all go down. It's interesting to watch the fear porn generated by the fundies too, the fundamentalist Christian Zionist type Christians, the messianic, apocalyptic fundamentalist. William Bramley, in his classic book, The Gods of Eden, he talked about how these controlling ETs created all these apocalyptic religions, right? Where some great revealing would take place and, you know, a messianic kind of thing with a savior and all that. And it's echoed throughout all these different so-called pagan cultures where there was this kind of messianic savior-type figure risen from the grave, etc., etc. We see that over and over again. And that's not to say that Jesus, historical Jesus, didn't exist. I believe if Jesus existed, he was really in a scene. That's a whole other story. And the Gnostics were an outgrowth of the Essene movement. They'd kind of emigrated and spread out to southern Europe, southern France, and what we would call southern France today, and spread out. And then, you know, the Gnostics and were persecuted themselves, the so-called Albigensian Crusade. But anyway, back to the whole concept of the fear porn. Because if you go on the YouTube now, just all these Christian Zionists, these Christian fundies, are going crazy about all this stuff with North Korea. You see, because in their twisted way of thinking, these Christian Zionists in particular, the sooner the world is engulfed in thermonuclear warfare, I don't know why I'm laughing. The sooner the world is engulfed in thermonuclear warfare, the sooner Jesus the Messiah will come back. I mean, it's just, you know, well, why doesn't Jesus come back before all this happens? I would ask these fundamentalist Christian Zionists, right? But there's no reasoning with people like that, because they've got that archon messianic program and sub-program working through them, right? But go on YouTube and just look at how many videos are being pumped out, a steady stream of them. World War III is imminent, yada, yada, yada. And a lot of it is being put out by these fundies, right? It's an example of the collective consciousness where they want this to happen at some level because of their programming and conditioning and indoctrination, right? I mean, you just look at a reptile fanatic like John Hagee. Oh, my goodness. Watch some of his so-called sermons. Fire and brimstone, man. So, you know, we just have to be careful not to fall into that camp, even though we may not be Christian Zios, you know, but we don't want to give into this, the chicken little sky is falling thing. But on the other hand, we can't be naive as to what's going on. We have to recognize the true nature of this multiple threat environment in which we reside, right? But as we say again and again, step back and look down at it from a higher dimensional perspective. And remember that we're boots on the ground, ground crew. You know, the advanced reconnaissance, let's say, deep reconnaissance, ground crew for our extended ET star family. And we have air cover in the form of our spirit elders and our extended higher dimensional ET star family. Never forget that. I'll leave you with a couple of interesting topics before we end this week's segment of Bartley's commentaries on the cosmic wars. The first one, kudos to the wild boars who gored and killed these ISIS types. This was reported, apparently it happened in Iraq somewhere, reported by a Kurdish intelligence officer. Kudos to the pigs that did that to them, the wild boars. I find that fitting. To paraphrase General Patton, if I can find those blankety blank boars, I'd send them each a medal. Also, another interesting tidbit, and we're seeing more and more of this. Lizard girl Nancy Pelosi, Congress lizard woman Nancy Pelosi, is stumbling over her words again. During speeches she's given, she just gobbledygook is coming out of her mouth. And we've seen this before from hosty shapeshifters, these Fox News presenters or other news presenters that are hosty and entity infested and are entities themselves, where they open their mouths and all this gobbledygook and drivel come out. Well, more and more of that is happening with Nancy Pelosi. Lizard girl Nancy is finding it harder and harder to retain her human form. Who can forget when General David Petraeus, and he can't really betray us because he was never human in the first place. He had an episode when he was, I think it was a Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, Military Appropriations, something. You can find it maybe on YouTube. It may have been taken down by now, but there was a very good video of General Petraeus. He was another perfume prince. The notion that someone like him actually got out and done a lot of combat, the name that the late Colonel David Hackworth came up for these types is perfume princes, right? They got the chest full of I was there medals. Oh, this ribbon is for the Industrial War College, and this ribbon is for attending the Air Warfare College, and this ribbon is for completing a bachelor's degree in some subject, right? That's what the chest full of ribbons is all about. They're not actually combat medals or combat ribbons. Anyway, General David Petraeus falls in a category. A perfume prince, as the late Colonel David Hackworth would have called him. Check out David Hackworth's books, including About Face, which is a classic book about the American military in the 1960s. Long story short, but David Hackworth actually came on, was it Nightline? I can't remember. He was interviewed. I remember when he did this. He was interviewed. He was still in uniform. He was in Vietnam and said the war can't be won. This is an unwinnable war, yada, yada, yada. Long story short, Army Counterintelligence Corps, somebody, Black Ops, someone in the Army Intelligence tried to bump him off, right? You got to read his book. Anyway, David Petraeus, Perfume Prince, in Congress, talking to another lizard boy, the mummy, John McCain, right? Suddenly, David Petraeus, the camera is focused on John McCain. Next thing you know, you hear this thump, right? All this consternation happening in Congress there. Next thing you know, the camera pans over, and there's a crowd surrounding. See, this happens a lot with these shapeshifters, right? Where the people around them, their entourage, their coterie, they're handlers, basically. They know he's a shapeshifter. And you can see this in the old Elvis. I hate to burst your bubble, all you Elvis fans out there. I love Elvis, too. Okay, but long before there was Photoshop, long before there was digital cameras, there's movie film of Elvis shapeshifting, because Elvis was into the occult. The army turned him into a druggie, right? And you can see him shapeshifting. Then you can suddenly see the Memphis Mafia crowding all around him, and then getting Elvis out of there, right? It was a publicity stunt. He was supposed to give some little boy some award or something, and the boy was looking up, freaking out, because Elvis's face was morphing. Well, the same thing was happening to General Petraeus after his, you know, he did his face plant onto the table in front of him. His staff crowded around him, and then after a while, he got up and he was escorted out of the room, but you could see that he had these big lumpy protrusions on his face, and his face was like turning a dark green. He basically lost his shape. Basically, he couldn't hang, right? And so he just basically, you know, passed out, kathump, shapeshifted. Well, that's happening to more and more of them again, folks. For once, these reptiles, these negative reptiles, especially the ones posing as humans, they're the ones behind the eight ball. I keep saying that. They're not handling this energetic shift well. All these hosty, negative, grumpy, mean-spirited people, hosty, entity-infested people, they're not handling this shift well. They're going, pardon my Anunnaki, batshit crazy. And it manifests in a variety of different ways. In Nancy Pelosi's case, she's like, to just speaking gobbledygook and not even making sense, right? She's a shapeshifter anyway. There's good video for shapeshifting, by the way. So I think that's a good thing, folks, right? You know, a lot of people out there, they're on to the reptilian con game. They really are. It's not just us. There's many, many others out there. Kudos to all the people out there that are all the YouTubers that have got their channels exposing all these stinking shapeshifters. And Nancy Pelosi is just another one, just another fake human, right? So, anyway, that's been in the news lately, that Nancy Pelosi has been having these episodes where she's just, you know, spewing out this gobbledygook and just basically making a spectacle out of her reptile self. Anyhow, so that's what's going on in the world today, up till today. Anyway, let's see what the morrow brings. We're coming up to May Day and all the occultic high days on either side of May Day. So let's see what happens, see if they've got some real or hoaxed bloodshedding waiting in the wings that they can capitalize on. You know how they don't like to let a good crisis go to waste, right? So hopefully, if we sustain and anchor some higher dimensional frequencies, that we can, at some level, and also our higher dimensional air cover, at some level can thwart them and cause them to have even more setbacks. Because, folks, they're making mistakes left, right, and center. Oh, you know, there's three carrier battle groups are converging on. Cattle groups sounds about right, you know. Because all those servicemen, all those sailors on board those ships, they don't realize they're just cannon fodder. They're on a razor's edge. And they don't even realize that their masters are not even human. That's the ultimate irony about this whole thing, that, you know, their masters are not even human, and they're too obtuse and too dense, literally too dense from an energetic vibratory standpoint to figure it out, right? They don't know about all the damage meted out to the Royal Navy during the Falklands War, the attacks against the merchant shipping and the naval vessels, the task force that transported 3 Commando Brigade to the Falkland Islands, the Sheffield, the Argent, the Antelope, Sir Galahad, and others, all these Royal Navy ships and all these merchant vessels, the Atlantic Conveyor, blasted by the Argentinian Air Force. They stupidly, for some reason, just left the task force sitting there instead of dispersing them out in the open ocean. And so the Argentinian Air Force came along. See, the Argentinians were written off as a bunch of dagos, a bunch of spics that, you know, couldn't fight, right? It was all politically driven, the Falklands War. Just take the time to study that battle. One thing I like about reading about British soldiers when they write their memoirs and they talk about the wars, they speak their mind. They're not a bunch of, like, brain-dead flag wavers. I mean, they actually express their misgivings, whether it's operating in Northern Ireland, whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's the Falklands. It's like, what the hell are we doing here? You know, I like how they speak up. Whereas when you read these books written by Americans, often as not, these American soldiers and sailors and Marines, it's almost as if it's the same author writing all these books. It's almost like a form of hive consciousness, where there's no differentiation. They're all flag wavers, 9/11, you know, we're fighting them over there so they don't come over here to cause all these problems for us and our way of life, and they hate us for our freedoms. It's like it's always the same writer, the same author, despite all, they have all these different names, right? All these different soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, they're all, you know, espousing the same thing, right? Like, there's no difference between them. That's why I like reading books by, like, a lot of the Brits and, you know, people from other countries that talk about their war experiences. They're more likely to wear their emotions on their sleeve, you know, and speak the truth, right? So these people, you know, corralled, you know, in big floating cattle pens up there, they have no idea what a full-scale war with a modern enemy can do, you know, what the Chinese Air Force could do, right? What even the North Korean Air Force could do, right? They don't know that. All they know is they just bought into the propaganda. But you know what? It's their lesson, and it's really up to them to determine how they learn these lessons. It's not up to us to tell them, look, wake up. You know, I mean, you would hope that they would figure it out at some point, but anywho, so let's see what happens if they really start something here in the next few days or next couple of weeks. Anyhow, you've been listening to Bartley's commentaries on the Cosmic Wars, and I want to thank all of our listeners out there for all your support and all your love and all your gratitude, all your appreciation. I get many messages from you, you folks out there and expressing your appreciation for the show, and we really appreciate that. We feel it's a synergistic energy exchange. You know, it's an equal energy exchange, and we're striving to make the Cosmic Switchboard Show and the show in general, the podcast in general, better and better as time goes on, getting you the key information, the key intel that you need. Anyhow, that's all for this week on Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars, and we'll see you next week.